What is up? I am back. Yours truly, one and only Paul Pickett, host of the Paul Pickett Podcast, a.k.a. Triple P, a.k.a. the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and much, much more. Today, I'm going to react to Michael Knowles reacting to Andrew Tate's most viral moments, and we're going to see which ones that I agree with and which ones that I don't. But before we do that, we're going to give you a message from one of our sponsors.
That dizzle ain't no joke, got me addicted, ain't no coke. Let's just have a toast. Anybody want some smoke? Cause it's up, I be dizzy, thug. Catch me sipping with my double cup. Can't just have one, you gotta double up. You pour it, gotta watch it bubble up. Another one. Gonna have you coming back for more. But go get it while it's hot. Before be sold out in your stores. That Dizzle. Dizzle.
That's right. That Dizzle. Coming soon to a city or state near you. Right now, though, you can order your very own bottle or bottles of Dizzle brand premium luxury liqueur. It's a mixture of agave tequila, French cognac, and orange liquor mango mix. Just throw your Dizzle on ice, and it's nice. If you want to order your very own bottle or bottles, go to DizzleBrand.com, click on Our Locations, click on one of the top three website links. I recommend Emilio's Beverage. It's the cheaper link. Must be 21 and over. Shipping and handling is included. Also, there's locations below that in California, Oklahoma, Kansas, and Arkansas. 50 locations in Arkansas, Little Rock, here we come. So we're going to pull up this video and basically we're going to see what Michael Knowles agrees with on the Andrew Tate moments. And I'm going to see which ones I agree with on Michael Knowles on that, or Andrew Tate for that matter. And let's go.
I've heard this man's name everywhere. I have no idea who he is. Some people love him, some people hate him, some people like me have no idea who he is. So the producers have put together the very finest Andrew Tate videos. This is truly a fresh reaction. I've never seen anything this man has done. And they gave me a little bio. So this is what I go in knowing. Tate, also known as Top G, which is my nickname, by the way. He and I are gonna have to fight that out. He's a British-American 35-year-old former kickboxing champion and reality TV show star who is now one of the most controversial and spoken about names on the internet. He is the founder of Hustlers University, an online mentorship community that shares tips on cryptocurrency, stocks, affiliate marketing, and copywriting. Tate also owns multiple other businesses, including an OnlyFans agency. Oh, great. Okay. Good. That's only the classiest. Due to his hot takes and persona, he's been banned on nearly every single social media platform, including Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Let me pump the brakes for a second. See, I understand mainly women on OnlyFans making money, but we got to pump the brakes to automatically just assuming that just because somebody's on OnlyFans that they're showing nudity. Actually, OnlyFans, I think, started off where it could be for anything. It's almost like Patreon, you know? It could be a place for exclusive podcast content. You know, if you only want to put short clips on YouTube, you could put the whole podcast on the OnlyFans and charge a membership. It's really for membership fees. We got to stop assuming that everybody on there is just, you know, getting naked and showing nudity. Because there's chicks on OnlyFans that really ain't even getting fully naked. They're just showing pics that sexy, little extra sexy pics, maybe lingerie pics or something like that. Everybody's not going X-rated on it. Let's pump the brakes. And we got to stop making assumptions in this world, man, all the time. We got to stop assuming.
And YouTube. Okay. So all I know about this guy is that he is an athlete, a pimp, and too hot for TV. Take it away.
People think you're like sexist.
Because I said the truth.
Which is?
Women can't fight.
Men are stronger. More true things. I think another thing I said is I said, and maybe I'll upset the ladies on the podcast. I hope not, but please correct me if I'm wrong.
Probably will.
I said, if I were to get on a plane and I were to, that plane was to fly into the eye of a hurricane, there was a 50% chance of it crashing, I'd want a male pilot. I think that males are better under stress and under pressure. I think they're less likely to get emotional in a life or death situation. That's why they make better soldiers. That doesn't make me misogynist. That doesn't make me sexist. That's just true. Women are better at other things than men. And I'll sit here and say women are better at X, but I will say that men are better at Y. I'm not going to sit and pretend that we're all the same. We're not. Under pressure, when your life is on the line, anyone who's honest would want a male pilot in said situation. You would not want a female pilot.
Yeah, I don't see the problem with that. What's the problem with that? He's saying men have, generally speaking, better spatial reasoning, a little cooler under pressure, little less given to emotional passion. That's all true.
I agree. 1,000%. Men are better under pressure. They are. Why is most of the army mainly men, especially on the front line? Because, I mean, women are emotional when there is zero pressure. Women are emotional with zero pressure. Zero. None. None. No pressure, and they're emotional. Let's keep it moving.
That's supposed to be a controversial video? I don't find that controversial. All right, next one.
I wake up every day excited. I'll go do this today. I'll go do this today. I'll go do this today. And I very much live my life in a frame of, not I have to do this. It's very much I get to do this. Change your language. I get to go to work today. Imagine you had no job. Be worse, right? Because otherwise you wouldn't be working. So you get to go to work. Oh, I have to fix the car. At least you have a car. You get to fix your car. Most people don't got one. Oh, I have to go get the kids. You get to go get the kids because you have these beautiful children who love you. You understand? People's even their own language is wrong. The world can be framed. Maybe I'm completely crazy. Maybe I'm full of shit, like you said. Maybe I am. But the frames I've installed in my mind are all beneficial to me.
So that's not only unobjectionable. That is actually a positively good way of viewing the world. Viewing the world less from a lens of whining and griping and complaining and resentment and more through a lens of gratitude. Sometimes when I'm here at this sweatshop at the Daily Wire and we're working 18-hour days, sometimes 20-hour days, and I think, I'm so tired. This is a great job. This is all I want to be doing. We ought to be grateful for all. In fact, we ought to be grateful for suffering as well, because suffering can be a sanctifying and edifying experience. That I'm totally on board with that.
And let me pump the brakes. I totally am on board with that too. I promote music for a living. And I don't wake up every day and say, damn, I have to promote music for a living. I say, wow, I actually get to promote music for a living. I actually get to promote hip-hop music, which I love, for a living. I get to promote country music, rock music, pop music, reggae music. Yes. And I get to, show a sense of necessity. I get to wake up every morning and feel like I'm needed. Like, what I do is a necessity, and it is. It is a necessity for musicians trying to make it or brands trying to make it. I am a necessity for all small businesses, all musicians, anybody trying to make it in the business world. I'm a necessity. That alone makes me feel good, knowing that people need me. They don't want me to promote their music. They need me to promote their music. And I don't get up every day saying, oh gosh, I have to promote music for a living. This sucks. I have to stay in the comfort of my own home, you know, and get time to podcast when I want to podcast, and TikTok when I want to TikTok, and, you know, oh my gosh, I actually have to add music to a playlist. Okay. It's an easy peasy job. It's music related, which I'm so passionate about. And it gives me time to work on other passions, like the t-shirts, like Dizzle, you know, like New Little Apparel, like Paul Pickett Podcast. So yeah, I'm totally on board with what Andrew Tate said. Like, I've never really, I need to hear more of that more often. Like, I'm with that, like, probably 1,000,000%. That was one of the most positive things I've ever heard. And anybody to say that was controversial, oh my gosh, you got to be the most sensitive, emotional person. You got to be, have a miserable, pathetic ass life every morning when you wake up if that was controversial. Let's keep it moving.
You know, when I read that the guy's a pimp, I thought, okay, this is not going to be good stuff. But there's that last clip is absolutely right. Okay, next one.
If you're not going to have children, what are you going to do with your lives?
If I'm not going to have children, travel, just pursue anything that makes me happy. Try to make money. I love traveling, so I would probably just
drink cocktails on a beach. Okay, next.
About the same thing, like travel, focus on my career.
A life without children is vapious, and it's inane, and it's pointless. And you may sit here and think that your career matters, but the truth is that your job will fire you at a whim and not give don't give a solitary. And when you're 52 and you're past it with no grandchildren in a house by yourself, and all your friends have grandchildren in this beautiful life, and you're sitting there by yourself, do you think the fact that you can afford a few extra Gucci bags is going to genuinely make you feel happy? I was at my grandmother's 93rd birthday. I stood there and I looked at my 93-year-old grandmother, and there was a room, a whole room full with maybe 70 people that came from that one woman. Isn't that remarkable? Yeah, that nobody cared about her career. Nobody asked what job she did. Nobody asked how many times she went to the club. Nobody asked if she had time to go to festivals. No, you had 70 sentient beings, including myself, full of life from one woman who dedicated herself to being a mother and a good wife. That is beautiful. And if you sit here and genuinely think that you're going to work your ass off through your fertile years and by the age of 54, you're not going to be suicidal alone with a cat, then you're dumb. The happiest women on earth have children and a man who's paying the bills and their mothers.
He's very close to right, but he's missing something. He's pretty much as right as you can be if you're a kind of atheist, modernist, materialist, capitalist, thisist and thatist. Generally speaking, women who have children are much more fulfilled, and that's certainly going to be more edifying than working at the widget factory for Mr. McGillicuddy so that you can go to brunch a little bit more and buy some more handbags. That's totally true. But what that worldview leaves out is, one, women who can't have kids, infertility, big problem. And it affects a lot of people. And two, women who genuinely are not called to have kids. There are some women, I think, who are not called to have kids, and there are other vocations for them. And I use the word vocation specifically because some women are called to religious life. I think a woman who becomes a nun can have a wonderfully fulfilling life. A woman who gives her entire life to God is going to have a wonderfully fulfilling life. The nuns that I know are serene, peaceful, doing wonderful things for the world. So his criticism is right. What he's really doing is not even extolling the virtues of getting married and having kids. He's really just criticizing this modern capitalist idea that all that matters is how much money you can make and how many widgets you can do spreadsheets for and how many brunches you have, you know, how many mimosas you got to down on Sunday. And that's all true. That's all worthy of criticizing. But then he's only offering the kind of capitalist alternative at absent a kind of view of the world that involves God and that involves duty and that involves religion.
This is why I got to pump the brakes. This is why I totally disagree. Because there's no proof of God. God is what we call God is fairy tales, make believe. We have no really earthly idea of what created us. And why do we have to worship it? There's no proof that whatever created us demands that we worship it. That is man. All religion is made of man. So like the nun having a fulfilled life, yeah, your life might be fulfilled to you in a sense, but it's fulfilled off of false belief, make-believe, fairy tales, something that doesn't even exist. You basically dedicated your life to something that doesn't even exist. Like, this is the thing. Whatever created us could be dead and gone by now. It could not possibly exist anymore. It could be a life form that doesn't exist anymore. This idea that there's this being over us that can, that's listening to my podcast right now. The only thing, only person listening in on my podcast while I'm pre-recording is myself and possibly my Alexa or my Google Talks or my cell phone. You know, that's the only things. The government's listening in while I'm pre-recording, but no, this idea that there's somebody that could hear all our conversations at once, know what we're thinking, know what you feel in your heart, which is really feelings. All feelings come from the mind. You don't feel from the heart. People, you know, you choose to feel what you choose to feel, and that comes from the mind. And I just, you know, I just find it hard to believe that somebody's had a fulfilled life believing in something that there's no proof or no evidence exists. False hope is not really fulfilling to me. That's the only problem I have with conservatives and Republicans. They're pushing God a little too hard, and they're pushing Christianity a little too hard when America is supposed to be a country derived on freedom of religion. So we don't need to be pushing it so hard that, you know, like it's just all about Christianity, because Christianity has its hypocrisies. Islam has its hypocrisies. They're all man-made religions. There's no actual proof or evidence of who God really, really is. And we probably will never, ever know, or who created us. And I don't even like to use the word God. I like to use the word creator. Yes, I believe something created us. Something created this life. But we have no real proof. So, yeah, I got to side more with Andrew Tate than him, because he brought God and religion into it. And yes, my sister's religious. Her husband's religious. And yes, they're great human beings. Great human beings. But if they ever try to debate God with me, they will lose. They will lose because they cannot present any evidence or facts. They can only present what they believe. And belief is not evidence or facts. Let's keep it moving.
So you're, and that involves the kind of natural suffering that goes along in a fallen world, such as infertility. He's close. I just suspect that this guy's view of the world is kind of too narrow, and maybe I haven't heard him speak about religion, but it seems to be missing the most important element, which is God. Okay, keep going.
No. Let's pump the brakes again. That is not the most important element. That is a problem. To be honest with you, religion is part of the problems in society, because people are believing in things that are not true. Not true. I would totally disagree on, oh, he's looking at it narrow. No, you're not looking at it realistically. You're not looking at it from a factual evidence standpoint of view. You're just going off of the words of a bunch of old white farts that argued and debated on what would be put in the Bible. There's so much left out from history, biblically, and it's probably all locked down in the Vatican Bank. It's probably locked down in the Vatican because they probably got evidence and proof that Jesus was just a regular man who was probably just a Martin Luther King Jr. or Malcolm X of his time, you know? Or the Martin Luther of his time. He was probably just this great speaker of his time. And as far as him coming back to life, I would argue that they were on LSD if they saw anything of that nature. That could explain it. And back then, they couldn't explain and interpret things the way we can nowadays. The human mind cannot process and interpret things like we do now, because we got so much technology and we're so advanced. But yeah, let's pump the brakes on this religion. That's the only problem I have with conservatives. Like, I would say I have a lot of conservative views except with religion. And that's how I know you know, I agree with a lot of conservative views, but I'm not religious. So it has nothing to do with God, Michael Knowles. Let's pump the brakes on that. Let's keep it moving.
You're going to sit here and you're going to end your own bloodline? All your ancestors were out there surrounded by saber-toothed tigers trying to survive on the streets out there in caveman days just to get to the final end where we have all the medical care and you can live in a nice warm house for your selfish ass to say, no, I don't want kids. I'm too busy in the strip club or going to Mallorca to have a
And I got to hold on. I got to stop real quick because he touched on something that I was thinking about the other day that I meant to post on Facebook. Before we knew how to build shelter, we were all homeless. None of us had houses. I mean, like, Indians didn't really build, like, they only built temporary shelters. They didn't really build permanent shelters because they were always migrating with buffalo. They lived in teepees. So at one point, none of us really had what we call homes and permanent shelters. We were all just migrating and living off the land, and we've strayed so far away from that, our natural laws and natural order of man, because we've let religion make us believe in something that's not true and not factual, and let religion control every aspect of your life. Even though I do agree with some of the things that religion says about being nice to people and stuff like that, religion also has it wrong on, you know, that thou shalt not kill. Well, thou shalt, that only applies when your life is not in danger. When your life is in danger, screw that thou shalt not kill bullshit. Thou shalt defend their life any way possible, just like animals do in the laws of nature. And that's how you know that religion is wrong about God, because God would not totally ignore the laws of nature. God would not be that ignorant and that stupid to totally ignore the laws of nature. And religion totally ignores the laws of nature. Let's keep it moving.
A pina colada on the beach. It's absolutely insulting to your entire bloodline.
There, you see exactly what I just predicted, which is that it's this kind of just modernist, like quasi-pagan almost, certainly materialist view of the world, where it's not, the reason to have children is not because man is made in the image of God and God tells us to be fruitful and multiply and to pass on that love, you know, the love between a husband for his wife, the love that becomes so real that it's actually personified in a child in a way that is not dissimilar from the love between the Father and the Son, which is personified in the Holy Spirit, right? A love that is so real that he is an actual person.
Okay, and once again, he's not an actual person. There's no proof he's an actual person. Once again, Michael Knowles is bringing religion into it, and he's the one that's not living in reality. He's not living in the real world. I would argue that whatever you said, the pagan view or whatever, something pagan view, I would argue that us pagans are living more in reality. We are more synced with reality because we're in tune with the laws of nature. And like I always say, a grizzly bear is out on its own by a year and a half. Might never see its mom ever again and never seen its father once in its life. It might have to actually fight off its mom for getting too close to its cubs later down the line. You know what I'm saying? It's just mankind that we have this weak emotional attachments to things. We have to be taken care of for 18 years. We believe in love at first sight, which is horseshit. It's bullshit. You can't even know nobody to know if you love everything about them yet. You know, lucky hats and all types of things. I think that's what makes man not as superior as we think we are. I think that's what makes us weak, is that we're so sensitive, so emotional, we're so attached. We got to be taken care of for 18 years, but we're superior. That doesn't sound superior. Yeah, if we got submachine gun and we roll up on a grizzly bear. But you roll up on a grizzly bear with your bare hands, you're not fucking superior. I'm sorry, you're not fucking superior. You're going to need all the fucking weapons in the world to beat a fucking grizzly bear. You're not superior. They don't take this emotional attachment. And that's another thing. When he was talking about the pilots, you know, I'd rather have a fucking grizzly bear flying the airplane than probably a fucking man or a woman, to be honest with you. Because that's the thing. Humans are so emotional, period. We're the most emotional things on this earth. We're attached to, like I said, your lucky hat, your lucky freaking shirt, your lucky pants. I mean, get the fuck out of here. There's no such thing as luck. That's horseshit. That's bullshit. You know, so I disagree with Michael Knowles when he brings religion into this. And I agree with Andrew Tate 1,000%. 1,000%. And I'm not so harsh as Andrew Tate. But that's the thing. Like, truth isn't meant to be sugar-coated. It isn't meant for you to just think of the nicest way that I can tell the truth. No, you just tell the truth and that's it. Sometimes it's harsh. Sometimes it's ugly. It's not pretty. But Michael Knowles, that's the thing. I agree with conservative views up until the point when they bring religion into this. That's when I have to say that you're being delusional. You're not living in reality. And we got to pump the brakes here. Religion does not apply to everything in life just because man wants to apply it to everything in life. Some things, the laws of, that's the thing. I don't believe in the laws of man and religion because religion is the laws of man. I believe in the laws of nature, natural law, which contradicts and goes against religion because religion contradicts and goes against natural laws. And that's how you know that what man says God is wrong. Because God would not be that dumb, stupid, and ignorant to totally ignore natural laws. Once again, I want to thank y'all for tuning in. Paul Pickett Podcast. And I'm out. Peace.